Luxembourg, Alamosa, and Trinidad. Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 10 o'clock.
Good morning. And welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. It's great to be gathered together today as church and within the fellowship of believers around our Lord's word to receive his gifts, both in word and sacraments. You know, church is the place where we purposefully get to relax, shake off the world, and be in the presence of our Lord. He gives us this time as a great blessing to gather to hear his word, to make that a priority in our lives and understand that he is here with us according to his promise that he made to us, that where two or three are gathered in my name, he said, there I am in the midst of them. And so we rejoice in our hearts and in our minds this morning. We welcome those who are tuned into our church service on the radio today. Thanks for joining us for our service. We pray that it will be a blessing to you as well, even over the radio signal and waves. We're blessed to have you joining us today. Our service begins today on our celebration as we continue through the season of Pentecost with hymn 746. That's the hymn Through Jesus' Blood and Merit. So we do invite the congregation, if you're able, to please stand on the last verse of the hymn this morning, and let's begin our service by singing. This morning, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, Let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our introit this morning from Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. O give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and love, that receiving what you have promised, we may love what you have commanded. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today comes from the book of Deuteronomy in the 7th chapter. You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with our epistle lesson this morning from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand now if you're able for our singing of the Alleluia and our reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." This is the gospel of the Lord. Would you join us now in confessing our faith to the words of the Nicene Creed? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Would you join us today in singing our hymn of the day? That's hymn 713, "From God Can Nothing Move Me." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Life is filled with transactions, is it not? Buying, selling, considering different purchases is a huge part of all of our lives. Did you know that the average Walmart, like brick and mortar Walmart store, has over 120,000 different items on the shelves? 120,000 SKUs. Those are the little product codes they use to ring things up, or UPC symbols, right? So if, let's say you just had a really bored day, and you went over to the Walmart and you wandered around the aisles in and out of, you know, the dog food, the cat food, the milk and the eggs, and all around the store, you might consider or evaluate 120,000 purchases. And this doesn't even count what we do at home when we're sitting on our device looking at Amazon. And we doom scroll down through Amazon until we end up spending too much money, or money we didn't want to spend, again. As we look at those products and make those choices, what we're doing is we're making an evaluation. We're determining whether or not what we see on the shelf or on the screen is worth or has a greater value than the money that we possess to purchase that item. In fact, we're constantly evaluating. All the time. We do it with money, we do it with time. We evaluate whether or not an activity is worth our time or our energy. Who should I spend my time with? We evaluate. What should I give myself to? We evaluate and evaluate what's worth our resources or what's truly valuable to us. Each of us this morning made an evaluation, I would assume, probably somewhere around 7:30, maybe 8 o'clock this morning. We evaluated whether or not it was worth it to come to church. It happens to all of us. Should I go this week or not? But we were asking this question in our evaluation. Is it worth it? I'd say, and this is just a guess, but I'd say that we evaluate more than we do anything else in our lives. We just don't talk about it very much or think about it. But it makes our parables from our Lord Jesus this morning very, very applicable to our lives. Because Jesus is teaching us about the most important evaluation. He tells us in verse 44 of chapter 13 that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Or in verses 45 and 46, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Both the field and the pearl in both parables were evaluated to be worth more than everything else the man or the merchant possessed. And Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's that valuable. Everything and more couldn't begin to touch its worth. It has the highest value of anything else we possess, anything that we have on earth. The kingdom of heaven is more valuable, and we won't find it on the store shelf wandering around. It has to come to us, and it does, in the hearing of God's word of the gospel. And this brings up some important questions for us. If the kingdom of heaven is really worth so much, is it worth giving up everything in my life for it? How do you evaluate it? How do I? It's life eternal, you know. The longer we live on this earth, the more we see the temporal nature of our lives and those around us. But the kingdom of heaven is literally an eternity of perfect peace, joy, and love. We have to stop for just one quick moment and think about perfect peace. And then think about that just going on and on and on. It's pretty nice. It's a beautiful thought. There's no pain there. There's no tears. And there's no sadness. And there's no sin. And there's no death. And there's no sorrow. It's perfection in every way. Yet, within the comparisons of our normal earthly evaluations, God's kingdom gets often so undervalued. When we're tempted to sin or to indulge in worldly pleasures, when greed and covetousness are knocking on the doors of our hearts again, we need to see it. In those moments of temptation, when those things come to us, we're being dragged into another evaluation. One where Satan drags us, and we find ourselves trying to measure or gauge the worth of God's kingdom over and against some temporal pleasure. And we ask, pleasure right now? Pick your sin, right? Or keeping God's word? Which are we going to value higher? Oh, and the devil, he's really good at this. He's really good. We've all heard his slithering lies. Because he'll come to us in our minds and he'll say things like, well, Jesus will forgive you. Go ahead. Or, is that really technically a sin according to the Bible? You know? Whatever we're being tempted with. He's got all kinds of them. He'll say, nothing bad's going to happen. Come on. What's it going to hurt to indulge just a little? In Genesis, that's exactly what's going on in Eve's mind when she's tempted. Once Satan says to her in the narrative, you will not surely die, and calls into question the Lord's word, he forces her into an evaluation of the value of that fruit on that tree that she was told not to eat of. He tempts her to measure and judge it over and against her own pleasure and her own desire to be wise, and she makes a terrible evaluation. And Adam does too. And so do we. And then our Lord couches these parables with a third one, a more challenging one. In it, he shows us in a really strange way, I'll admit it, who we are. But here's the point. You and I, and how we evaluate his kingdom, reveals what kind of fish we are in the third parable. Because as he says, there's a net. And the net, it catches everyone. The net is the kingdom or of God's word or the gospel. Because that's the interesting thing about a net as it goes through the water, right? It catches everything in its path. And if this is God's word or the gospel, it catches us. And we say, well, how? As soon as you hear it, it puts you in a position. Are you going to believe it? Do you believe it? Or do you reject it? There's no way out of that net. No way. The kingdom of heaven is like a net when it is cast into the sea. And because of our sin within us, we get forced into an evaluation over and against the other one. Which one's more valuable in this moment or that moment? The Word of God comes to us, and because of sin in us and sin in the world, it forces an evaluation. So we have to ask again, would you value the kingdom of God to give up all that you have for the sake of it? Is it worth it to us? Like Jesus tells the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19, when he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says to him, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And the man leaves sorrowful, for he had great possession. No surprise that Jesus tells us that it's easier for a rich man to get through the eye of a needle than it is for him to enter the kingdom of heaven. Or right before the triumphal entry, when Jesus sends his disciples to get the mule, right? The donkey. And they walk up to the guy who owns it. And they say, the Lord has need of it. And the man lets it go. Sadly, if we reflect on our lives and consider ourselves, we'll see that time has shown us, and our many evaluations have shown us, that we value God's kingdom just not as much as we value other things sometimes. My grandpa used to tell me this when I was young. He said, how many hours are there in a week? I didn't have a clue. I don't know. He did. He'd say, there's 168 hours in a week. And when I was a young man, he said to me, God's only asking you for one. Who's talking about church? He's only asking you for one. He gives you 167 hours, and he only asks you for 1 hour. He was just trying to get me to go, is what he was doing. And it made sense. Now, his advice isn't based on the best theology there, I'll admit, but the point is profound. How do we value the kingdom? What kind of evaluation are we making day in and day out, hour in and hour out? Because our value of God's kingdom is revealed by how much time we spend in prayer, in study of God's word, in church, in serving our neighbors, in our differing vocations. Most people value other things besides God's kingdom. I think we know that. The world values personal satisfaction and comfort and pleasure and wealth and material things and self-image and accomplishments, pride, basically, in all different shapes and sizes. So which fish would that make them or you or I in the parable? He says in verse 49, so it will be at the end of the age that the angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'd rather think about perfect peace than I would gnashing of teeth. I'm sure the same is true for you. Yikes. But wait. Hold up. All hope is not lost. The parables aren't just told so that we might see our sin, although they do that quite well, but also, thanks be to God, they're told for another reason. So who is the man who finds the treasure in the field? Or who is the merchant who finds the pearl? It is Christ, our Lord, come into the world precisely to evaluate you and me. He sees that we don't value him and his kingdom like we should. He sees that once the devil tempts us and gets us lured into trusting our own evaluations of the world, that we'll be guilty and therefore discarded. He sees that sin has ruined even the way you and I evaluate things. Even that is messed up. But he sees something else in us. Something he loves. Something he created. That beautiful thing that's been so entangled in sin and death that we can barely can't see it at all. Sin has overcome us. But God can still see it. God is the only one who can see the difference between us and the sin that so entangles us. To God as his creations, we have great, great value. So great that he would go, huh? And he would sell everything or give up everything at the cross to attain you and me. This is what he wants us to see this morning. This is why these three parables stack together. They show us that it's not our evaluations of things that matter. As Paul said, we've died with Christ on the cross in Romans 6. And guess what? The way we evaluate died with us. And our life is now hidden with Christ in God. Now, since he died for us, it's his evaluations of us that matter. His value system led him to set his face towards a cross like flint, to give up everything to gain you and me. And we, somehow, some way, are such a great treasure to him. He's hidden us away. And then he went and gave up everything to purchase us with the highest price, the lifeblood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And this love, this heavenly love, is the only thing that can teach us to evaluate correctly. He asked us for nothing, but willingly gave up all he had to change us, to make us into a different sort of fish in the water. Yes, the water of baptism. A fish that he values very highly. This is the amazing thing about the third parable, I think. We don't stop and think about it often, but he's the fisherman. Our Lord Jesus. And he's the one in charge of what the angels are sorting. His evaluation is the one that matters. See, the fisherman keeps the fish he values. And the others, he tosses away. So the entire thing, our entire life, although we thought it was based on our evaluations, ends up based on his. The cross is a symbol of his evaluation of you. His evaluations are true and perfect and pure. When his word comes to us, he's changed us. And we see how much we mean to him in our baptism and when he gathers us around his table. He wants us to see it. That's why he's doing it all. So that we'll see how much we mean to him. And then the 1 hour a week becomes a joy and not a chore. The time of prayer becomes a comfort and a healing. And hearing God's word becomes a priceless privilege. And setting ourselves and our selfish pleasures aside and serving God. The one thing a sinner doesn't want to do, serving God by serving our families and our neighbors and our friends, becomes honorable service. And by his cross and resurrection, we begin to evaluate the world quite differently, more like our Father, The cares of the world melt away in the light of his word. And although we only see through a glass dimly, we still see that we are the apple of his eye, as the scripture has told us. And by his loving grace, we see that we are children of God, pearls of great price to him, a real treasure to him, that we were worth giving it all for. So would we evaluate his kingdom as worth all that we have? Well, friends, this is the most amazing part now. By faith, we can say yes. Would we give our own lives before denying our Lord? With God's help, we answer yes. John tells us why. He says, we love him because he first loved us. Or we could even say, I think, in light of the parables, we value him because he first valued us. The cross and the resurrection show us how to truly evaluate our world. They show us what love is, the true value of everything and everybody, because all things are his. They belong to him and are to be used for his kingdom. That's why we have what we have, friends. It's Jesus who gives everything its worth. In him we can truly find worth and joy in our vocations, whether it be father, mother, son, daughter, and our neighbors, despite their faults, and even love our enemies. We can forgive and set ourselves and our pride and our possessions and all that we have aside every day for the sake of the one who gave it all for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time in our service, we take a moment to offer to the Lord a portion of the blessings that he's so freely given to us in our time of offering. As our offerings are collected and presented this morning, our organist will play us an instrumental piece. Come to our time now in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for prayer this morning is, Lord, have mercy. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith. Let us pray to the Lord. For our nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord. For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. For all those in need, for the hungry, for the homeless, for the widowed and the orphaned, for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and the dying, and for all those who care for them, we name especially this morning in our prayers the family of Christian, Eric and Rachel Cox, Dulcie Reynolds, Barb Luco, Frankie Gray, Brooklyn Clasby, Carolyn Jury, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Frank Rendon, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. For those that we've named before our Lord, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our hospital here in Alamosa and for the hospitals throughout the San Luis Valley. Lord, for our police department, for our sheriff's department, for all law enforcement. Lord, for first responders and those who rush to calamity and terror to help and to save, to serve. For their families. For those who serve in the military and their families. Lord, for those who bear the burden of judging the laws, our judges and magistrates, Lord, our attorneys, our social workers. For them, we pray strength, perseverance. Lord, that your word may strengthen them. For them and for all their families, let us pray to the Lord. Finally, for all these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord. Father, hear our prayer as we lift up to you all that we need. For you teach us, Lord, to pray and to trust. Through Jesus Christ, our Son, our Lord, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You've been joining us on the radio this morning. We thank you for tuning in, and we wish you the Lord's blessings on the rest of your day and your week coming up. If you're gathered here with us in the sanctuary this morning, we invite you to turn over to page 8 in your bulletin as we begin our service of the Holy Sacrament. And we also invite the congregation, if you're able, to please stand at this time for our preface. The Lord be with you. up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end thus to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
Reports that China may have planted malicious software in key utility systems supplying U.S. military bases around the world, the possibility likely to increase recent tensions between Washington and Beijing. ABC News White House correspondent Mary Alice Parks in Washington.
The administration is clearly on high alert when it comes to these cyber threats, and officials have been urging local public utilities that serve military bases to step up their defenses.
While there is relief today in the Northeast, the scorching heat continues for millions of Americans. ABC News Weather's meteorologist Samara Theodore.
We do have heat advisory stretching from Texas to Florida. Triple-digit heat index values through the afternoon, feeling like 106 in Tampa. And as we look at the next couple of days, we're remaining in the triple digits as far as how it's going to feel. Dallas, 106 starting work tomorrow. New Orleans, 109 for your Monday. Miami feeling like 103 degrees tomorrow.
Dave Packer, ABC News.
Another set cued and ready to go. Today,